AT&T was once one of the most dominant companies in the world, having invented the telecom industry itself. They employed nearly 300,000 employees and were worth hundreds of billions of dollars, but it's not quite the same today. AT&T stock has been crashing for the past 25 years. They've cut their workforce by 130,000 employees, and the company was burdened with as much as $180 billion worth of debt. Well, it all went wrong with just one acquisition led by one man. This is how AT&T destroyed itself. In 2015, AT&T was led by Randall Stephenson. He'd led the company since 2007 with moderate success. At the end of 2014, AT&T generated $132 billion in revenue and had over 240,000 employees. Most of this was thanks to their core business, telecom, but Stephenson had big plans. He wanted to grow the company into a media conglomerate. Stephenson's strategy was actually fairly simple. AT&T offered customers telecommunications packages with internet and phone plans. He wanted to make their offers even more appealing to customers. Their biggest competitor, Comcast, had recently done the same. They acquired NBC Universal in 2011 for $30 billion, and then they began offering their triple play bundle, internet, phone services, and thanks to NBC Universal, television. By comparison, AT&T could only offer internet and phone plans. Despite making half their revenue, Comcast suddenly had a better offering than AT&T and were gaining ground fast. Between 2011 and 2015, Comcast's revenue grew 33.5%, but AT&T only grew about 15%. Stephenson's response? Buying a media company too. He decided on a company called DirecTV, a traditional television company, but not a cable company. Instead, they provided TV by satellite. Launching a few satellites into orbit was expensive, but unlike cable, it didn't need a giant nationwide infrastructure. New customers traditionally needed massive cable installations to join. For DirecTV, all customers needed was a small satellite dish, so it was easier to install. For AT&T, this seemed perfect. It fit in as a part of their bundle deals, offering internet, mobile service, and satellite TV for a cheap rate. The perfect bundle for new customers. Plus, they could sell this to their existing customers for more revenue, which at the time was 120 million customers just in the wireless category.
Earlier today, we completed the merger of AT&T and DirecTV. Our combined company will fundamentally redefine our industry and deliver entertainment services to you like never before.
AT&T acquired DirecTV for $48.5 billion. In their 2015 annual report, Stephenson said, "We closed our acquisition of DirecTV, combined with our major investments over the past 5 years in our wireless, fiber, and internet protocol networks, we have assembled the pieces to claim leadership as the top integrated communications company in the world." He was preparing AT&T to take back ground from Comcast. It would provide new revenue, new growth, and remove Comcast's competitive advantage. Unfortunately, though, the strategy had a few problems. Let's break down the numbers of this acquisition. Before the merger, DirecTV was growing at a steady rate. From 2007 to 2010, they added about 2.5 million subscribers, but over the next 5 years, they only added about 1 million to surpass 20 million. That's a lot of customers, but something was odd about the growth. It was slowing to a halt. In 2015, the year AT&T merged with DirecTV, Netflix had already acquired 70 million subscribers, 17 million in that year alone. And their revenue had tripled between 2010 and 2015. Now, I'm not saying that AT&T should have bought Netflix, but the trend was pretty clear. Streaming platforms like Netflix were exploding, but TV companies like DirecTV were slowing down. Stephenson probably noticed this, but he didn't realize the gravity of it. Netflix wasn't a new TV platform. It was replacing TV altogether. So, what happened? While AT&T's revenue did go up after the merger, and DirecTV showed some promising growth, rising to 26 million households, making it the biggest TV provider in the world. It had just overtaken Comcast's TV network, which had 22 million households, though AT&T's success didn't last too long. its TV services weren't bringing in the profit they hoped for. Then the growth began to wane. Subscribers were leaving DirecTV every day in favor of streaming services. So in 2016, AT&T launched DirecTV Now, a streaming service television hybrid. It showed live broadcasts, channels, sports, news, and more over the internet, and within the first month, 200,000 subscribers joined. But it wasn't enough to reverse the overall trend of people leaving DirecTV. At the end of the day, they offered channels like other television companies for the same overpriced subscription that customers weren't interested in. As such, in 2017, DirecTV shed 1 million subscribers. Stevenson, at least outwardly, still remained optimistic. "We expect to pick up whatever video losses we have, and more than that, with DirecTV Now." But the spin-off streaming service wasn't profitable yet. Plus, the more profitable television service was shedding subscribers. Stevenson needed to act. In mid-2018, AT&T raised the price of DirecTV Now by $5 with the hope of profitability. It may have helped profit, but it certainly didn't help growth. In the first quarter, they gained 340,000 subscribers, but in the third quarter, only 49,000 joined the service, all while DirecTV was rapidly losing customers to the other streaming platforms. But it gets worse. A $48 billion acquisition is a lot. Even for AT&T, they had taken on a lot of debt. They also had to sell off assets to stay afloat, but DirecTV wasn't paying off. DirecTV could even be argued to be the most overvalued acquisition in history. Somehow, AT&T hadn't noticed the rise of cord cutting, or at least underestimated it. Despite the rise of Netflix, they bought a TV company for about $50 billion. And DirecTV Now was only a tiny service compared to the television service, and it wasn't capturing new customers like Netflix or Hulu. Yet, with all that said, AT&T then did something totally unexpected. AT&T would double down. They had absurd debt and their services were shrinking, but Stevenson decided to go all in on media. Near the end of 2018, AT&T made its biggest announcement in history.
"We're following a major developing story in the communications industry. AT&T has reportedly reached a deal to buy Time Warner for more than $80 billion.
This was massive, one of the biggest acquisitions in history, with the final price reaching $85.4 billion. The merger with Time Warner meant AT&T now owned Warner Brothers, CNN, HBO, and many, many other intellectual properties. Harry Potter, DC Comics, Looney Tunes, Game of Thrones, Adult Swim, Lord of the Rings, the list goes on and on. Even with their debt from DirecTV, the company was now a media powerhouse, from a telecom company to a media giant to rival Disney. Would this be enough to save AT&T's sinking media empire? AT&T might have now had more media assets, but it also had more problems. For one, the merger increased their debt to $180 billion. Not only that, the merger was a bad marriage that looked good on paper and in photographs. The comparison with the Comcast-NBC merger almost served as a controlled experiment to show that corporate culture is critical for a merger's success or failure. AT&T's culture was more process-driven, which clashed with Time Warner's fast-paced, creative-driven work environment. Investors weren't too impressed either. After the announcement, AT&T stock continued on their downward trend from 2015. Despite now owning Time Warner, Stevenson was unprepared for the war that was arising. Streaming platforms were now everywhere and battling for consumers. AT&T had unexpectedly entered a war zone. To make matters worse, shortly after the merger, many of Time Warner's top management jumped ship to other media companies. The head of HBO, Richard Plepler, left for Apple, and Jeff Bukes, CEO of Time Warner, retired right after the acquisition, just to name a few. Without strong leadership, AT&T appointed John Stankey to lead Time Warner. He had been with AT&T since 1985 as a finance executive, yet he had almost no media experience. Despite spending over $85 billion on Time Warner, AT&T didn't really know what to do with the company. The industry was rapidly evolving, with new competitors appearing left and right, though AT&T focused more on using Time Warner's content to boost its telecom services than on building a strong streaming platform. they pushed HBO for more content to increase profitability, which hurt their reputation for high-quality shows. To make matters worse, DirecTV was continuing to decline. Their 26 million subscribers had now dropped to 15 million in 2021. To put it bluntly, you can't just acquire your way out of a problem. They went from moderate profitability to increasingly unprofitable. Finally, enough was enough, at least for Stevenson. At the beginning of 2021, Randall Stevenson retired as the AT&T CEO. When he took over AT&T in 2007, the share price was $39.40. When he left, it had dropped by 24%. For comparison, the S&P 500 had grown 85% in that same time. Their revenue that year was $134 billion, which sounds like a lot. But that's actually 8.7% less than 2015, before they bought Time Warner for $85 billion. AT&T was undoubtedly shrinking. Comcast was doing great in comparison, but still losing ground to streaming services. Their revenue had jumped to $116 billion, a 56% jump from 2015. The numbers didn't lie. AT&T was in a bad position. They were losing money and market share. It needed to get things under control. So AT&T went into damage control. The easiest way to fix this was to divest assets, and quickly. In April 2022, it merged Time Warner, now rebranded as Warner Media, with Discovery Inc. It would be a standalone company, completely separate from AT&T. This provided an injection of $43 billion, funds AT&T desperately needed. Then, AT&T sold a 30% stake in DirecTV to TPG Capital. Another injection of cash, but it would allow them to continue offering some TV and streaming in its packages. This would let AT&T stay in the streaming race. At least, that's what executives thought. Things actually continued to get worse. In the second quarter of 2022, DirecTV lost over 400,000 subscribers. The service had just over 12 million left, losing 13 million, or over half, in 8 years. They had even fallen behind Comcast's TV service, which was still at 15 million. They also fell behind the second largest TV provider too. Finally, AT&T gave in. AT&T cut the cord, or rather, the satellite. They sold the remaining 70% stake in DirecTV. They had bought DirecTV for $48 billion, but they sold it for about $7.6 billion. They had lost $30 billion on this gamble, and that's not even mentioning the billions of extra debt and interest they took on to go ahead with it. This officially marked its exit from the media race. The distraction hurt their core business as well, but late is better than never. This likely saved AT&T. In 2024, their stock price surged 35%. Stevenson was gone and AT&T was done with the media industry. The company is now pledging $40 billion in buybacks and dividends to rebuild shareholder trust, trust that will be essential going forward. On top of this, AT&T still has massive debt to repay, about $120 billion. In 2015, if Stevenson had a bit more foresight, he might have seen the giant red flag around DirecTV and television. DirecTV wasn't necessarily failing, but in the bigger picture, consumers were flocking to Netflix and Hulu. The growth was declining while streaming growth was accelerating. The solution, after getting into that mess, was definitely not to acquire another giant TV company for even more money. It's incredible how one CEO can ruin a company. But Stevenson isn't alone. Like AT&T, Nokia was at the top of their industry, yet the direction of one CEO caused the company to collapse. Watch this video to see how Nokia fell from the top and then somehow rose again. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.